I'm not only the pastor, I'm also the cameraman. It's good to see everybody. I think we about doubled. I think we had 17 people last Sunday for indoor service. Big crew outdoor today again. We had quite a bit of wind today, though, so it was a little bit of an adventure. And we even had a broken guitar today. And a lot of bent up folded pages in my Bible. These Bible pages are not made for the wind. So it was pretty much an adventure. We are back. It's good to see everybody. It is much cooler and less windy in here than it was outside today. So I'm happy to be in here. And hello, everyone over there on the computer. I don't know how many. I always, being at home doing this was really funny because I hope people were there watching. It gives you a little number in the corner, you know, this many people have signed on, but you don't know if they're like, you know, in the other room having breakfast or in the shower and they're just going to come catch the end of it. So it's nice having people in front of me, and hopefully there's somebody on the computer this morning too. So we are in some crazy times. I think that goes without saying right now, right? And I would say some dark times for the most part. And as we're going through all this, and I don't know how much you're keeping up with news and things that get posted on social media and everything that's happening, but I think anytime we go into these harder times, we begin to ask some questions. And here's a few questions I think most of us probably ask. The first is why it's happening, right? That we probably all ask that quite a bit. Why is this happening? What's going on here? Another one that we ask, hopefully, is how should I respond? Right? What should I do in the midst of this? You know, whether it's, you know, the whole COVID-19 thing and, you know, just taking care of people and watching out for people's health, but not being afraid. How do I handle that? The other one is, you know, what we're in right now with all the racial tension and the violence and everything. Our question often is, how should I respond? You know, what should I do in the midst of this? And then I think one other question we often ask is, what does this mean for me from this point on? Right? I think it's safe to say that this is a time in our history between both of those things I just mentioned, the rioting going on and the COVID-19 pandemic. This is a time in our history that things change from here. This is one of those times where you can say, yeah, that was a turning point. And so the question, that last question is, what does that mean for me? How is my life different? How should I go on from this point on? And so those are some questions I think we ask in the dark times. And hopefully, we're going to look at Psalm 30 today. And it's my hope that we can answer some of those questions for each of us as we go through this psalm today. As you turn to Psalm 30, I want to give you a background, catch you up a little bit. Last time we talked about the life of David was a couple weeks ago, because we took a little break last week and talked about meeting together once again, which was exciting. Back in 2 Samuel chapter 7, last time we were in the life of David, it tells us in chapter 7 that God had given him rest from all of his enemies. And so David's in his palace in Jerusalem, and he has no more wars going on right now. And so he says to himself, I'm living in this great palace, and God, the Ark of the Covenant, still resides in a tent. And if you remember, it was God's command that it resides in a tent, so it was okay. But that was David's plan. He said, I'm going to build a house for God. I'm going to build a temple. I'm going to build a palace for God. And God corrects him. He says, no, David, that's not what I have planned. I have something very different planned. God says, I have something much greater planned, David. I'm going to build the house of David. You're not going to build a house for me. I'm going to build the house of David. And what we talked about in those sermons was eventually that house of David is where the Messiah came from. He would be in a descendant of David. And so that's what we talked about in the life of David. And so now we come to Psalm 30. As we've been doing, we talk about the life of David and then one of his psalms. And Psalm 30, if you read kind of the little introduction to Psalm 30, it says a psalm, a dedication song for the house of David. This is a dedication song for a house. So you might think, what does this have to do with darkness in our world and all those things? It's a song about dedicating something. Well, if you remember, David has been through a lot. He's been through a lot of dark times and difficult times, through a lot of violence and a lot of pain. And this is his view on the other side of that. And so that's what we're going to be looking at this morning, hopefully to answer some of those questions. So let's read through Psalm 30 today. says, I will exalt you, Lord, because you have lifted me up and have not allowed my enemies to triumph over me. Lord, my God, I cried to you for help and you healed me. Lord, you brought me up from Sheol. You spared me from among those going down to the pit. Sing to the Lord, you his faithful ones, and praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor a lifetime. Weeping may stay overnight, but there is joy in the morning. When I was secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, when you showed your favor, you made me stand like a strong mountain. When you hid your face, I was terrified. Lord, I called to you. I sought favor from the Lord. What gain is there in my death? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your truth? Lord, listen and be gracious to me. Lord, be my helper. You turned my lament into dancing and removed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness so that I can sing to you and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. This psalm, the very first verse is basically a summary. The first verse says, here's what this song is about. It sums up the whole thing. And then what the psalm does, it's really cool. From verse 2 through the rest of the psalm, it tells the story, but it tells it twice. In verses 1 through 5, it kind of tells the story of David's life and how God has rescued him. And then in verses 6 through 12, it repeats it and gives us a little more detail of what exactly is going on. And so that's the form that this takes. And so what I want to do is we're going to talk about three things. We're going to talk about pain, we're going to talk about prosperity, and then we're talking about praise, praising God. And what we're going to do is it kind of jumps through verses. We're going to look at the beginning of the story and then the middle and then the end. And so it'll work kind of like this. We're going to talk about pain in verses 2 through 3 and 6 through 8. So that's the beginning of each one of those stories. Then we're going to talk about prosperity in verse 4 and verses 9 through 10. And finally, we're going to talk about praise in verse 5 and then in verses 11 through 12. And then what I want to do at the end, we're really going to focus in on David's life and what God did. And then at the end, hopefully, we can apply these things to today. We can walk away knowing about pain and prosperity and praise and what that means for us right now in the dark times, in the night that we're in. So let's talk about pain. What precipitates pain? Where does it come from? Verses 2 through 3 and 6 through 8. It says, Lord, my God, I cried to you for help and you healed me. Lord, you brought me up from Sheol. You spared me from among those going down to the pit. In verses 6 through 8, it says, when I was secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, when you showed your favor, you made me stand like a strong mountain. When you hid your face, I was terrified. Lord, I called to you. I sought favor from my Lord. As we look at these, it seems like they talk much more about rescue than they do about pain, right? They talk much more about God saving than the peril that he was in. But let's look at the fact that David says he was headed to Sheol. He was going down to the pit. Now, we're not going to talk about what Sheol is because I don't have time for all that. But just think that it's the dark place where dead people go, okay? That, we'll run with that for now because it gives you the right picture. And so why is he going down to Sheol? Why is he going to the pit? How did he get headed in that direction? And the real key there lies in verse 6. He says, when I was secure, I said, I will never be shaken. What he's talking about there, and it might not come across right away, but what he's talking about there is when he was self-assured, when he was secure in his self. He said, nothing can ever shake me. I've got this. When David was self-assured, when he had everything at peace and around him and he had confidence, he said, I will never be shaken. I've got this. Everything is okay. I've got things under control. Now, if you remember where David was in chapter 7, like we said, God had given him rest from all of his enemies. He had conquered Jerusalem, made that the capital, and he had built himself a palace. That's a good place to sit back and go, I got this. I got this. And that's where David was at that point when he wanted to build the house for God. And that's when God met him face to face. And God said, David, you don't got this. You're messing up now. You're going in a direction that I don't want you to go. And so he had this idea that I better take care of God. You remember we talked about that in the passage in 2 Samuel 7. He says, I'm in a palace. God's in a tent. I should take care of God. And that's when God shows up to David and corrects him. That's what happens in verse 7. It says, Lord, when you showed your favor, you made me stand like a strong mountain. When you hid your face, I was terrified. Anytime we have this attitude of, self-sufficiency, the attitude of, I got this, we're always in danger of God turning his face. That doesn't mean he abandons us. It just means he looks the other way for a minute. And if God looks the other way for a minute, it's terrifying. It's terrifying. And that's that idea of when you set me in a strong place, I was firm. But when you turned your face, I was terrified. I no longer got this. I'm in trouble now because Lord has turned his face. So what precipitates pain? A lot of different things do. But we might often think, man, I'm in this horrible situation, this horrible place. It must be some blatant sin, right? Some blatant sin in my life. I'm screwing something up really big. So now I'm experiencing this pain. Now, if you are caught in blatant sin, you will experience pain for sure. That's a guarantee. But sometimes I think we go through these hard times and these painful times because we've made that much more subtle mistake of self-sufficiency, of I've got this, I'm okay. And the Old Testament is full of that story, isn't it? Over and over and over again, God provides for his people in an incredible way, and he sets them up and takes good care of them, and they get to that place where everything's great, and they go, thanks, God, we got this now. And they forget all about God, and then what happens? They experience that incredible pain of captivity and all those things until they finally turn back to God and say, sorry, we didn't have it. We didn't have it all together, even though we thought we did. God turns his face away, and that's terrifying when he does that. This lesson about confidence in ourselves is explained beautifully by an object lesson that Jesus gives in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. You may have heard this story before, but Jesus tells this parable, this story to his disciples. He says, Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and looked down on everyone else. He said, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee was standing and praying like this about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other people, greedy, unrighteous, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of everything I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but kept striking his chest and saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you, this one went down to his house justified rather than the other, because everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Isn't that a great illustration of that truth that Jesus gives? The Pharisee stands before God and basically says what? I got this. I got this. And the tax collector stands before God and says, my life's out of control. God, I need your mercy. I need your grace. I need your rescue. I do not have this under control. And Jesus says, which one was right with God? The one who admitted that he needed God, the one who didn't think he had everything together. And so this mistake of self-sufficiency is in our psalm today. That's where the pain came from. That's what precipitated that pain in David's life was that mistake of self-sufficiency, that I've got this all under control. And so think about that for a minute. If self-sufficiency is the danger of prosperity, then what's the purpose of prosperity? Why would God ever give us prosperity if we're in danger of going, I got this all under control? Well, that's where we're going to go next. Prosperity. What's the purpose of prosperity? Look at verse 4 and then verses 9 through 10. It says, sing to the Lord, you faithful ones, and praise his holy name. What gain is there in my death? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your truth? Lord, listen and be gracious to me. Lord, be my helper. Now, the key to this part is in verse 9. It's stated in the negative, but let me flip it around and make that same statement in the positive. There is great gain when you rescue me, Lord. There is great gain. The great gain is that your name is praised. The dust does not have a testimony. The dust cannot tell people how incredible you are. There is great gain when you rescue me because your name will be praised. There is great gain because your name will be praised. Now, this harkens back again to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7. When God comes to him and he says, you know, David, you're not going to build a house for me. I'm going to build a house for you. And if you remember in those couple sermons in chapter 7, the theme that we kept bringing up over and over again is God told David, you don't do great things for me. I do great things through you. That's the testimony. The testimony is that God gets the credit. God gets the credit. Rescue me, Lord, so that I can tell people how incredible you are. That's the purpose of prosperity. The point of David's prosperity from the time of his life to the Messiah was that God would get the glory for the life and the house and the lineage of David. God would get the glory. So what's the purpose behind our prosperity? So we can give a testimony to the goodness of our God. That's why we prosper. And you notice that's the exact opposite of why the pain comes. I want to share with you the greatest testimony that we have, and it comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. The greatest rescue that's ever happened, and the greatest testimony we can ever give to the glory of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 3 through 7. It says, we too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts, and we were by nature children under wrath, as the others were also. But God stepped in. God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in trespasses. You are saved by grace. He also raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, so that, here's why we prosper, in the coming ages he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace through his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. I have been rescued from sin and death. I have been saved, and I have so much prosperity that I am seated with Jesus Christ in the heavenly realms. And who gets the glory for it? God. That's the purpose. That's the purpose of my prosperity. My salvation is that people would see God and give him glory. It has nothing to do with shame. It's not about me. And this is where the praise part steps in. Our praise of God and our testimony are so closely intertwined. That's in verse 4. David calls his neighbors, his friends. He says, sing to the Lord, you his faithful ones, and praise his holy name. Because everything that God has done in my life is for his glory. That's why I've prospered. That's why I've defeated my enemies. That's why I have conquered Jerusalem and set up the capital of the nation of Israel. That's why I sit in a palace here today, is for the glory of God. That's the purpose of our prosperity. So then with that praise taking place, what's the point of praise? What does it accomplish? If that's what leads us to it, then what does it accomplish when we give praise to God? When we give our testimony, we give praise to God, what does that do? Verse 5 and then verses 11 through 12. It says, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor a lifetime. Weeping may stay overnight, but there is joy in the morning. You turned my lament into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness so that I can sing to you and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. Now, at this point, I want to be really clear, and this relates to what we just said. First and foremost, we praise and worship God because he is worthy. That's it. Never does anything for me to help me out. Never saves me. We praise and we worship God because he is God. So that's number one. But that praise of God also accomplishes things in our life. And that's what I want to talk about. There's a function of praise for you and for me. There's a point to praise in our lives. In verse 5, we have one of the best known passages in Psalms, right? I'm sure a lot of you probably heard that before. His anger lasts only a moment, but his favor a lifetime. And we love this part. Weeping may stay overnight, but there's joy in the morning. There's joy in the morning. Does it feel like you're in the middle of the weeping part sometimes right now? I can't help but see the things that are going on around our country. And it's dark, isn't it? It's just darkness. And you feel like you're in the darkness. We went straight from COVID-19 to rioting. And not just, you know, average rioting, like a pandemic over the whole world to death and destruction. I'm thankful we skipped the murder hornets. We ran right over those. And that's a good thing. Hopefully they're not coming back a little bit later. And I just read there's been a bunch of earthquakes in Yellowstone. Did you read that? I had a friend in Denver who posted something about the black hole, and he said, I think we have an alien invasion coming right now, which would fit in perfectly with everything else that's happened. You ever feel like you're in the, it's dark and I can't see anything that's going on. I'm in the middle of the weeping. This passage talks about the darkest night, but it doesn't stop there. It doesn't end there. God's favor is forever. There is joy on the other side of the darkness. The sun always comes up. And that's true not just in life. In my 43 years, it has never failed to come up every morning. The sun always comes up, and God's favor is forever. There may be darkness right now, but there's joy on the other side of it. You can be guaranteed. As faithful as the sun coming up, God's favor is forever. And it's important that this is all contained, this truth is all contained in an expression of praise. This is what praise is doing for us. This is what praise is accomplishing in the life of David. David experienced God's deliverance, and that didn't just affect him at the time. He didn't go and say, oh man, remember that time you rescued me from, fighting guys 10 times the number of my guys? And that came and it went, and David kind of forgot about it. No. The ways that God has delivered him, the ways that he's seen the sun come up every single time, those have affected him not just at that moment, but long into the future. That's what this praise is all about. It changes. When you see God's deliverance, it changes the way you pray. It changes the way you praise. It changes your worship of God when you see him deliver, when you see him do those incredible things in your life. When we begin to praise God in this way, it becomes our strength in the dark times. That's the point of it. That's what it accomplishes in us. Remember, God deserves praise no matter what. But when we offer up that praise, it gives us that peace, that confidence in the dark times, because we remind ourselves of who God is and what he has done for us. So that's how this all kind of works out in the life of David. Let me try to apply this specifically to what we're going through today. What does it mean for us? What do we do now with this information in the midst of darkness? First of all, our pain. Remember what we talked about what precipitates pain. Where does it come from? I don't know your life and what you're going through right now, but probably, most likely, God is not sending murder hornets to punish you for whatever blatant sin you're doing right now in your life. That's probably not what precipitated the pain that's going on right now in our world. But these times, what's so great about the night and the darkness and the times of weeping is it shows us the places in our life where we are making that mistake of self-sufficiency. Have any of you felt that in the dark times? I don't know about you, man. This has been this has been the hardest time in ministry. Now, personal life, I have to say 2 years ago when I broke my shoulders and couldn't use my arms. That's the hardest time personally. But in ministry, this has been the hardest time in my 20 years of ministry. Because as a pastor, when all of a sudden you can't see people, you go, well, what is it that I do? People is my job. Like if I can't have church, if we can't have Bible study, if I can't go to lunch with people, what do I do? What am I doing? And what that has done is it makes me step back and go, okay, what have I been doing under my own strength and my own power? What are the things that I take for granted that I say, God, I got this. I've been doing this for a long time. I got this all under control. Well, all of a sudden, God turned my world upside down and said, okay, now how much do you have under control? When you just sit that day and go, I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow. I don't know what I'm doing on Sunday morning. For the first time in 20 years, I don't know what I'm doing on Sunday morning. See, that makes you stop and go, where are the places in my life where I've been going to God and saying, I've got this. I've got this all under control. Because during the dark times, a lot of times it's God just looking the other way for a moment, just saying, okay, take care of it. I'll be back in a minute. Let me know how that goes. And I love that picture of him turning his face away. Because, you know, as a father, you know, it's not like I dropped you off and I'm going to go somewhere else and I'll come back and get you later. God will never do that to us. Even in the dark times, in the painful times, we belong to him. There is height nor depth, angels nor demons, no power in all creation that will snatch us from his hand. But every once in a while, when we say we got this all under control, he won't let us go, but he'll go, okay, let me know how it goes. And see, these dark times, these painful times, these hard times really point those things out. And again, think about your life now. What are the things that you took for granted? What are the things that you said, I got this all under control? God's not really part of this, not because I kicked him out, but because I don't really need him right now. I've got this under control. Take some time right now, today when you go home, this week. Take some time and do what I call lean into that pain. Lean into that darkness. Don't ignore it. Don't close your eyes. Don't run from it. But step into it and go, okay, God, what is the point of this? Lean into it and ask God to show you the places in your heart where you've forgotten about him. And then pray that God would not turn his face away, but would come to your rescue. Lean into that pain and stand before him and beat your breast and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I need you. I need you in every area of my life. Prosperity. You may, at this point, have some incredible stories of what God has done in your life in the midst of this horrible time. I can remember we had one moment where Stephanie had gone to the grocery store and there was no meat. Like, all the shelves were cleared off of meat. Well, we had just bought a steer from my grandfather and had it butchered. We had two freezers full of meat, literally. And that was one of those moments. It's like, you know, back in January when I did that, I wasn't preparing for the apocalypse at the time. But you just see God's provision. And you say, wow, in the midst of this, God's taking care of me and my family, even though I had no idea. So you might have those stories where you say, man, in the midst of this, I have seen God's incredible deliverance. What's going on right now? Share that testimony. Call your friends and neighbors to gather and say, praise God, because here's what he's doing right now in the midst of this. The dust isn't going to do it. The ground is not going to go to your friends and tell them how wonderful Jesus is. That's the purpose of your prosperity, when God takes care of you. Now, in the midst of this, you may not have any great stories yet. You may be saying, things are not going too well right now. However, I remember in times past, the sun's always come up. The sun's always come up. He's always been faithful. He's always delivered me. So right now, I'm in the middle of the weeping and the darkness, and I don't have any great story to tell. My COVID-19 deliverance. But I do know that the sun has always come up my whole life. That there's been weeping before, but there's always joy in the morning. Share that testimony. That's the purpose of God delivering you over and over again, is because the dust isn't going to cry out. You have to do that. You have to praise him in the prosperity and share that story. And remember, maybe you haven't had any great stories about freezers full of meat. Maybe you think back and you're like, man, it's been a long time since I've seen God do something miraculous in my life. You know, maybe I've gone on a long season of, I haven't seen the sun yet. The weeping is still there. But if that's the case, remember what we read in Ephesians chapter 2? That you are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. That you have been rescued from Sheol, from the pit, from sin and death and hell. That you have already been rescued. You are already seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. You have already been delivered from everything for all eternity. That's a testimony. There's something beautiful about the fact that, you know, some people, you have these people in your life, I'm sure you do, that have a stout faith, that they walk through trial after trial, and their life is difficult, and they find peace, and they share the awesome power of God because they're seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. Life's not easy. They've still got a lot of weeping and a lot of nighttime that they walk through every day. But they have been saved. They have been seated with Jesus in the heavenly realms. There is no greater prosperity than that, is there? There is no greater rescue than that. And we all, brothers and sisters in Christ, we all have that testimony. no matter how hard things are right now. We all have that testimony. And that leads us to praise and how we praise him through the pain in the prosperity. I want to end with one passage, my favorite passage of praise in the Bible, I would have to say. It comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 5. I think in the midst of everything that's going on right now, you have to at least read Revelation once on a Sunday, right? Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. It says, "Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and also of the living creatures and of the elders. Their number was countless thousands, plus thousands of thousands. They said with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.' Then I heard every creature in heaven, on earth, under the earth, on the sea, and everything in them say, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be to the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.'" I guarantee if you consistently sing that song, then it will get you through the darkest night that this world has to offer. Amen? Stand with me and we'll close in prayer today. Heavenly Father, thank you for your incredible love and deliverance. Lord, thank you for Jesus Christ. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we had done nothing to earn your favor, in fact, quite the opposite, we had done everything to separate ourselves from you for all eternity. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we were in the midst of the deepest darkness and the most powerful mourning and weeping that can ever be experienced, the sun came up. The sun came up from the grave and rescued us all. Father, let that be our theme, our song, our praise every day as we walk through this world. Lord, I've seen you deliver me from hard times and difficult times. I've seen you come to the rescue. I've wept in the darkness, and I've seen the joy in the morning. Father, I've seen you work in the midst of this situation, and Father, I'm still waiting for a bigger light to shine and the sun to come up in this weeping and this darkness we're in right now. But Father, I know in the midst of all those things, I've already been rescued. I've already been seated with Jesus in the heavenly realms. I already have the greatest prosperity. And I will truly worship you. I will truly praise you forever because of that in all eternity. Father, let that be the theme of our lives. Let us live that out every day. Let that be our testimony to all those around us. Thank you for your love and your salvation. It's in Jesus, through Jesus, because of Jesus, that we bring these things to your presence. Amen.